ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय 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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अबद्धेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी थैंक यू सुंदरानंद प्रभु फॉर गिविंग वंडरफुल क्लास एंड just to be I want to be honest I just started preparing last night
it is good sometimes
and
because he's talking about intensity
the reason I came late because I slept only at 2 o'clock in the night yesterday so I borrowed Amrinder Prabhu's deck and then I just utilized and modified so my class will not be up to the standard of Sudharada Prabhu
No, so. Because I
started only
today morning.
So, thank you, Amrinder Prabhu, for again giving me the chance. Because all the time it happens, when he tells me, then I do it. even the first class, he asked me to do. And then all the time, that's what happens. But I always think, why am I forced? But I think, when I go through this, then it's really a blissful experience. So, thank you. So right where this is the last section of the chapter 13 where Dhritarashtra quits home. So verses from 49 to 60. This is the theme. So 49-50, Narada Muni explains, what is the position of Krishna, and then how devotees see, how non-devotees see, and what is the mission of Krishna, and then next two verses. Yudhishthira's question is where are my uncles? So basically, he gives the position, location where they are, and then what they do. So next four verses, what Dhritarashtra is going to do after going to that place, and then the next three verses, what is the result they are getting by following the process, and then the last verse, after telling this, Narada Muni actually leaves the presence of Yudhishthira. So this is the overview. So let's go to the 49th verse. Soyam adya maharaja bhagavan bhuta bhavanah kala rupo vati no shyam abhavaya suradvisham. The Supreme Personality of God had said, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all devouring time, kala rupa has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious from the world. So this is again now. Basically, Narada Muni is giving a hint that the appearance of Krishna is to remove the envious. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains, there are two kinds of living entities. One is Sura, another is Asura. Sura is a law abiding by the law of the scriptures or Krishna. And then Asuras are who are actually disobedient to the laws of God. And they are not only envious of the Lord, but they are also envious of all the living entities. These are actually the Asuras. And the Asuras, being obedient to the laws of Lord, they are actually not contaminated by the materialistic concept of life. Whereas the Asuras, they want to control over the Lord and the control over the material nature. And then how each one of them see Krishna. So in the verse, Narada Muni says, see Krishna in the guise of all devouring time, Kala Rupa. Right? For devotees, Krishna is all blissful, all beautiful. How can it be Kala Rupa? So then Prabhupada explains, for non-devotees, Krishna is seen as death, Yamaraj. So Krishna, Bhakshala Prabhupada says, causal form of death for the Asuras. And it is not at all pleasing for the Asuras. They don't want to die. But Krishna comes to them as death. So one time I remember, I was listening to one lecture. I think one young man who was arguing with Srila Prabhupada. Why are you saying God? No, there is no God. I'm not going to, why should I bow down? Then Prabhupada told, if you don't bow down to Krishna, you will bow down to death. You will bow down to disease. You will bow down to old age. Right? It's not that this is an option. You are actually forced to bow down. You are forced to take, you know, surrender. If you don't surrender to Krishna, you surrender to death. And the demons, the asuras, they do not want to accept the form of the Lord. They deny the existence of the Lord. And because they don't accept the form of the Lord, why? Because they think the Lord is formless. Because why? They don't want to be chastised by the Lord. So they think the Lord is formless and they don't want to be vanquished by the Lord. And that's why they are satisfied with, Lord has no form. And there are some references I want to give. Krishna, how this time element is referred in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Kalah Kalayatamaham. I am the, among the subduers, I am time. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, right, anything in this world, in the material world, anything will be destroyed by time. No exception. Everything will be destroyed by time. Right? And then also, which is specifically related to this verse, 11:32, Krishna says, right, actually, when he shows the universal form, Virat Roop, Arjuna asks, he begs, oh my Lord, I know, I'm very fearful, who are you? Please, what is your mission? Please tell me. Then the Lord says, time I am, right? I am the destroyer of the worlds. I came here to annihilate everybody in this battlefield except you, Pandavas. Everybody will be killed. And that is his mission. And this is what exactly Narada Muni is referring to. Right? And then this one I came across because I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day now. I'm in the fourth canto. Lord Shiva's chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. And I just came across this and this actually went into my head. And anyway, Prabhuji asked me to speak and then I thought, okay, this is Kala, this is specifically referring to that. And in this verse actually, 4:24:65, Lord Shiva exactly points to the same point. Sa esha lokan atichanda vego vikarshati tvam khalu khala yanaha bhutani bhutair anumeya tattvo ghanavalir vayur iva shishayaha. My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. The force of time is very strong and everything is being destroyed by something else, just as one animal is being eaten by another animal. Time scatters everything exactly as the wind scatters cloud in the sky. So, basically here he says, who don't want to accept the authority of the Krishna? Krishna says, people who do not want to accept the authority of Krishna, but they are forced to die. So, everything is destroyed. You can see the hands of Krishna in the process of destruction. Right? And, you know, this is what actually Sundaram Guru just now read, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. In this world, right, one animal is eating another animal. Another animal is eating another animal. Like, so, that's how it's going. And the same thing is referring to Krishna. Lord Shiva is saying here that person who don't want to accept your authority, they can see your authority by the force of time. And then related to this, I also found another shloka from Prithu Maharaj's prayers. To Prithu Maharaj, when they pray and when they meet Sanat Kumaras, there is one this specific shloka from 4:22:36. It says, Isha Vidvamshita Ashisham. Isha means Supreme Lord Krishna. Vidvamshita means destroying. Ashisham means the benedictions. You can be Krishna. If you look at it, Krishna is the destroyer of the benedictions. Krishna is called Varadaraj. We know Krishna is Varadaraj. He is the, you know, he is the king of all the benedictors. But here, the same Krishna is referred as Isha Vidvamshita Ashisham. He who destroys the benedictions. How is that? So, the related, actually what is it is, in the purport Prabhupada explains, the context is, Prithu Maharaj says, in this world we get benedictions from different personalities, right? But all those benedictions are material, and the material benedictions will be temporary, and it will be wiped out. Right? You may get some job, you may get some nice, beautiful wife, you may get a nice home, everything will be wiped out. at the time of death, right? And Prabhupada in the purport very nicely explains, you know, right now in this modern age, they are actually worried about, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. We follow the dharma and you get artha. And with artha, you get, you satisfy your senses, your desires, kama, and then you go to moksha. But nowadays, the first two, the first and last, nobody cares. Nobody wants to care about dharma and nobody wants to care about moksha. They only want to care about artha and kama. Right? However, if I can get economic development, with the economic development, I can try to satisfy my senses. But everything will be destroyed by the Lord. Right? All the benedictions, which is material, will be destroyed by the Lord in the form of time. So, how Krishna is seen by two different personalities, as Prabhupada says. So, the devotees see Krishna in his personal form, which is Satchidananda Vigraha, like all beautiful, eternal, blissful form with his paraphernalia, with his devotees. But the same Krishna is seen by non-devotees as in the form of death. So this is what exactly Prabhupada explains in the purport, right? In this, the Lord Shiva's prayers I saw, right? So a person who doesn't know the authority of Krishna, he can see the hand of Krishna in the form of death, right? A person, like one animal is eaten by another animal. So a frog is eaten by a snake, and the snake is eaten by a mongoose, and the mongoose will be eaten by another animal. Like that is going on, right? So a person who can see Krishna in the form of death. Then one may question, okay, what about devotees? Devotees also die, right? There, again, Lord Shiva explains in the same song, Yatra nirvashta maranam krithanto nabhimanyate vishvam vidvamshayam. So if you look at it, vidvamshayam, same word comes. Vishvam vidvamshayam virya shaurya vishpurjita bruva. So he says, just by the expansion, simply by the expansion of the eyebrow, the time personified can destroy the entire cosmic universe. Just by the blinking of an eye, just by the eyebrow's expansion of time personified, he destroys the entire cosmic universe. But the formidable time does not approach the devotees who has taken complete shelter at your lotus feet. The devotee, we have to take complete shelter of Krishna. So he has nothing to do with the devotee. The time personality, he destroys everything in this material world, in the cosmic manifestation, but he cannot touch the devotee. How? What is the example? So Yamadutas went and talked to Yamaraj. Right? This person has done so much sinful activities, we are going to take Ajamila. But Yamaraj says, don't go near devotees. If you see devotees, just circumambulate them, pay dandavats and come back. Anyone who chants Krishna's names, don't go near them. And what is the application here? So application is, yes, time, right, will be destroying everything. And Krishna as a Isha, Krishna as a supreme controller, he will also destroy our material, you know, assets and whatnot. But devotion service, whatever we do, that devotion service is eternal. Nothing can be, the time cannot check devotion service. So devotion service which is rendered by devotee in this lifetime can never be destroyed by time. Such spiritual assets remain unchanged, being beyond the influence of time. So what we should do, whatever time we have, let's assist Amritananda Prabhu in Anand Mela and Rivilas Prabhu in whatever his projects he is doing. So even if you have little time, we have to engage in Krishna service. Otherwise, it's going to be wiped out anyway. So it's better we use it or lose it. So the next shloka, Nispaditam devakrityam avasesham pratikshate tavad yuyam avekshadvam bhavedhyavat iheshwaraha. The Lord has already performed his duties to help the demigods and he is awaiting the rest. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on earth. So now he is again telling the mission of the Lord. He has already completed his duty to help the demigods. Now he is awaiting for his rest. Basically, Lord, after his, basically, Dharma Samstapanartha, he came to annihilate all the demoniac kings, and he established Pandavas, the Suras, the demigods, they want established and as a king, and now he's going to go back to his in a spiritual world. So in the purport, Prabhupada actually explains imitation gods, as Sundaranda Guru pointed out. We all came to lord it over material nature. We came because we want to be God. We want to become Krishna. And the problem is here, we have too many imitation gods. Every one of us is trying to be the God. And so there is too many asuras. Then what happens? It becomes hellish. So then what happens? Krishna himself comes and kills everybody. Right? And then Lord descends and clean up. And then again Satya Yuga starts. So like that. So Narada here also, like Vidura, he didn't say the imminent destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He just gave a hint. You Pandavas can wait till you hear the news of Lord's departure. Like that. He also didn't give the news. So the next verse. Dhritarashtra saha bharata ghandarya cha svabharyaya dakshinena himavata rishi nam ashramam gatha. Now, first two verses is over. Narada Muni explaining to Yudhishthira who is Krishna, how Krishna is seen, and what is the mission of Krishna. And now, Narada Muni is going to explain the location of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Says, O king, your uncle Dhritarashtra, his brother Vidura and his wife Gandhari have gone to the southern side of the Himalaya mountains where there are shelters of the great sages. So they all left. Vidura, Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, they left Hastinapur and they actually went to southern side of the Himalayan mountain.
Srotibihi saptadhiryavai svadhurni saptadhavyadat saptanam priyate nana saptashrota prachakshate.
The place is called saptashrota, divided by seven, because there the waters of the sacred Ganges were divided into seven branches. This was done for the satisfaction of the seven great rishis. So they went to the Himalaya mountains, southern of Himalaya mountains, where there is river Ganges is divided into seven. This is for the specific purpose of the Sapta Rishis. And I tried to get more information. I couldn't get in Prabhupada or Bhurjana Prabhu's book or in lectures.
Maharaj must have gone. Bhaktikas Maharaj.
I don't know.
We don't know where this place is, right?
I don't know. It says Sapta Shrota, but I couldn't find more information. I wanted to find, but I couldn't. So the main significance is two things in the last two verses, the location, right? One is they're not just going to any place, they are going to the southern side of Himalaya mountain and where the sacred river Ganges is flowing. So Ganges is related to the Supreme Lord, emanating from the Lord's lotus feet. And second, they are not just going to the river to take bath, but they are actually there where the sages ashrama. They are actually going to take shelter of the sages. So those two are the points. So far as even if we get frustrated, whatever, if you want to go away, let's go to somewhere where you have association of devotees, So that's what, right? I think in the first one it says, right? Anyone who goes to the place of pilgrimage, right, just for taking bath, right, that is not useful. What is useful is you have to go and hear Harikatha, Krishna Katha from the devotees there. Otherwise, it is like a place of pilgrimage for crows. Like that. So after the explaining the location, now Narada is going to explain after reaching there what Dhritarashtra and Gandhari is doing.
Snatavanusnavanam tasmin hutva chagnin yata vidi. Abhaksha upasantatma sa aste vigata shinaha.
On the banks of Saptashrota, Dhritarashtra is now engaged in beginning Ashtanga Yoga by bathing three times daily in the morning, noon and evening, by performing the Agnihotra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water. This helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of familial affection. So, now, here in this verse, Narada Muni explains, after reaching there, what Dhritarashtra is doing is, he is taking 3 times bath. He didn't just say 3 times. And then Prabhupada explains, in the translation itself, he says, morning, noon, and evening. 3 times, okay, I'll go take bath now, I'll take bath 3 times, it's not that. He's giving morning, noon, and evening. And he also performing the fire sacrifice, Agnihotra. And he is doing tapasya, just by drinking only water. And why he is doing all those things? To help control his mind and senses. And why he wants to control mind and senses? Because he wants to get free from the familial affection. Right? So in the purport, Prabhupada says, the whole process of yoga system is for what? Is to get detached from all these different thoughts. But what is the modern material association and modern education? What do they do? they are simply trying to concentrate on flimsy things. Just get attached to so many material things. How can I get nice car, an iPhone, iPad, as Harulas but told? iPad, iPhone, you want iPad, iPhone or I devotee? Right? So we, so many things, like in this material world, right, especially the modern civilization, we are trying, dragged in so many different directions, just to remember what? In all these flimsy things. 401k, insurance, exchange rate, right? Money value, gold rate, home rate, including me. This is what I mean.
He's in my home, right? He's looking at what I'm doing. So.
No. No, I'm also doing the same. I'm also in the same boat. Right? So, these are all actually, we are getting so much attached to so many things. But actually, the yoga is to get, you know, how can you forget all these things and only remember Krishna? But our Bahushakahi Anantasya, we are actually many branched. You know, we are actually trying to remember so many different things. And that is what the material association does. And the yoga process is actually to forget all these things altogether. You have to forget all these things. So modern so-called yogis and yoga systems manifest some magical feats, and actual goal, it is not just something you can just do some, you know, produce some ash or cure somebody's disease. No, that is not actually the goal of yoga. The actual goal of yoga is to completely forget all these material things. And what is this? Completely forgetting what? Forgetting everything what you have learned in this material world from time immemorial. Because we have been struggling for this existence, struggling to lord over, okay, if I do this, I'll be happy. If I do this one thing, okay, let me get this home in India, then I'll be happy. Let me invest this, I'll be happy. Let me do this, let me do that. Let me just, oh, if I just get this job, I'll be happy. Oh, if I just get this bonus, I'll be happy. We are so much attached to so many different goals. But actually, the actual goal of yoga is to forget everything. Whatever you've learned so far. And that means it should be point blank. We have to forget everything and just remember Krishna. And it's not going to be easy. The whole point. Right? So that's the real purpose. What Prabhupada explains. The real purpose is whatever you have learned in the whole struggle for the existence. We have to forget all those things and to remember only Krishna. And then also Prabhupada goes and explains yogi and bogi. Right? He says, here, Dhritarashtra is only drinking water. Fasting, tapasya. He is not, you know, then Prabhupada explains, it's not that, you know, a yogi can go on unrestrictedly eating and drinking whatever he wants. Yogi means to have tapasya. So today is Ram Navami, we are all fasting. But, you know, we have to voluntarily accept. Tapasya means voluntarily accepting, right? Inconveniences. So that is what tapasya. And bogi means one who wants to enjoy. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who sleeps too much, and anyone who sleeps too little, anyone who eats too much and eats too little, cannot be a yogi. Right? We have to have balance. Right? And we should also be balanced. Yukta hara viharasya. We have to be, you know, working should be balanced. You know, entertainment should be also be balanced. Sleep, and eating, awakening, everything should be balanced. So if you balance, then we can actually steadily progress in the yoga process. So in the next shloka,
jitashano jitaswasha pratyahrita sadhindriya hari bhavanaya dashta raja sattva tamo malaha.
One who has controlled the sitting postures, the yogic asanas, and the breathing process can turn the senses toward the absolute personality of Godhead and thus become immune to the contaminations of the modes of material nature, namely mundane goodness, passion and ignorance. So he is actually explaining the process of Ashtanga Yoga. So after you are actually mastered in the sitting postures, then you go to the next process, right? So first is Yama, Niyama, do's and don'ts. Then Asana. Then Pranayama. So then Pratyahara. Pratyahara means to remove all our senses from attachment to sense objects and to withdraw. That is actually Pratyahara. Ahara means food. So senses are always looking for some food. Prabhupada explains in the purport. Senses always, now human being is attacked by all these different senses in all sides. Why? Eyes want to see this. Tongue wants to taste this. Nose wants to smell this. Ear wants to hear this. Touch, now we always want to touch something soft. So these are the senses and always looking for food. And pratyahara means to withdraw the senses from the sense objects. And why we have to do this? If you do that, then you can actually transcend the three material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. So, in the purport, Prabhupada explains, those who have actually controlled the lower propensities, right? You know, tamoguna and rajoguna means acquiring wealth and acquiring things, that is actually rajoguna in this material world, and to enjoy without rules and regulation is tamoguna, right? But anyone who has crossed these two, so let's say he is in mode of goodness, even the person who is in the mode of goodness, he cannot control the senses. This is the purpose. Then what to speak of people who are in the passion and ignorance? So it is very hard. So then how, what is the way to transcend? Then Prabhupada explains, only by the bhakti yoga process one can transcend. How? The senses are always looking for food, but you actually engage the senses in the service of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Shevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So then he says Pratyahara. He says the process of turning our senses from material attachments to loving transcendental service, devotional service to Krishna, that is called Pratyahara. It's not that you have to go and sit and then say, okay, now I'm doing Pratyahara. I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to close my ears, and I'm not going to talk, right? There is a picture like this, right? Three monkeys. It's not going to work. Why? Because yeah, mind is always acting, and the moment, yeah, repression cannot accomplish, right? Always you'll be going and engaged, like Krishna says in second chapter very clearly, right? Yatato hi abhikamataya purushasya vipachita. The person with intelligence, he may try to control the senses, but the senses are so strong and impetuous that it can carry away the mind of an intelligent person. Right? He is intelligent, he is trying to control the senses. But the senses are so strong, and the senses can carry, drag the mind. When the mind is dragged, the intelligence also goes. Yes. So there are two shlokas. So the one is boat one. So first one is talking about senses are so strong, senses actually trying to drag the mind. And the second one is
the mind is contemplating on any one of the senses.
The mind, when it's contemplating on any one of the senses, can carry away the man's intelligence, like a boat in the water. Right? Mm-hmm. So senses are so strong, if your senses are so strong, and you have a weak mind, then mind will be carried away by the senses. The next one is, basically mind is trying to focus on one of the senses. So then your intelligence is being carried away by the mind. Right? So the only thing is, you have to engage our senses in Krishna service. Parandrishtvanvartate. Right? and then samadhi. So Prabhupada actually correlates here. You know, people should not just read this and say, okay, let me go and do Ashtanga Yoga. Prabhupada actually says, what is really Ashtanga Yoga? Ashtanga Yoga means pratyahara, means nothing but engaging your sense in the service of the Lord. And then samadhi actually means in total absorption of Krishna. So Harivasu, right? All the time, how can I expand this movement? Every time you see all Maharajas, right? Everybody, what they're doing? How every moment, whatever they have, they are in total absorption of how to spread Srila Prabhupada's movement, how to serve Srila Prabhupada better. Right? So that is actually samadhi.
So one thing is like they are getting older, but their services are increasing.
Yes.
So generally people get older, they decrease the thing. But you see they are increasing service every day, you know.
Yep.
Rilas Prabhu, like after getting this form, he didn't even tell anybody. He had been working every day, 4 hours physical work. So 1 week, like myself and Gajanan Prabhu, we went last week. I couldn't even do for like 30 minutes. I was like trying to clean up the place using back and the weed whacker. Prabhuji himself single-handedly, 9 acres of land, he was doing it every day without even telling any one of us. He never invited any one of us. He had been doing it every day. 4 hours every day. He doesn't tell anybody. So last week, like, we come to know, and because Namarat Prabhu told us, and then we went, and then he did most of the work himself. So that's like, as you said, like, as Vijayalu became, he's older, he's not like me, he's like 65. I was just thinking, like, so in 65 I won't be even able to walk probably, right? But then he is increasing. This, it's not that he is done, this temple is done and he stopped, his service is over. He's ever increasing.
Yep.
Because if you don't, that's what Prabhuji said, if you don't, if you even give a little bit of gap, that's what Prabhupada's letter to Harivilas, for personal instruction, in the letter he mentioned. So do not engage them, do not give any gap, engage them in different festivals, different activities. Listen, he was in Paris as a temple president, that's the instruction Prabhuji received from Srila Prabhupada. Sorry.
Yes, so that's what samadhi actually means, total absorption of Supreme. And for us, you know, we have a fortunate, you know, guiding Srila Prabhupada, Harivilas Prabhu is guiding, then you just engage. Get engaged wherever you know you can, just get engaged.
And this is just one point. Samadhi. I have not seen so far Harivilas Prabhu doing something else other than something connected to Krishna so far. Not even one time. I had associated a garment his factory, so many things. Always in connection to Krishna only he is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen him. Something he is doing something exclusively for him. Even if he does something like that, it will be always in connection with Krishna only. When even he's taking some rest or doing something, right, I would always see him. He's doing always in connection with Krishna and how to preach. So, because you know more, you associate with
Prabhupada.
I have not in one single moment I have not seen him doing something, some completely different off-topic things.
So one time somebody was dropping Prabhuji at, I think Sarva Prabhu or somebody told me that he was dropping Sarilas Prabhu. He was going to India for GTC meeting. So just before leaving, he said, Sarva Prabhu, please pray that I am not attacked by Maya. Amazing consciousness, right?
Mm.
I mean, such a level, still he is asking younger generation like us to pray for him. Humility.
Yep. So, what is the application? Try to increase our devotional service to get closer to samadhi. We have to actually follow in the footsteps of, you know, Maharajas and Harivilas Prabhu. Vijnanatmani samyojya kshetrajne pravilapyatam brahmani atmanam adhare ghatam bharam ivam bhare. Dhritarashtra will have to amalgamate his pure identity with intelligence and then merge into the Supreme Being with knowledge of his qualitative oneness as a living entity with the Supreme Brahman. Being freed from the blocked sky, he will have to rise to the spiritual sky. So this is actually the process of liberation. Right? He has to merge. Right? Prabhupada explains in the purport how the living entity originally from the spiritual world, how it comes in contact with Mahatattva. First, the living entity comes in contact with Mahatattva, and from Mahatattva, the false ego, and then intelligence, and then mind, then all the grass elements comes, and then we identify with the body, and then trying to enjoy. So when you want to go back, again it's a reverse process. So you have to actually merge, Bhumi, Rapa, Anala, Vayu, everything has to merge, right? And then mind has to merge, intelligence has to merge, and then false ego has to merge, and then you have to go to back to Mahatattva, and then finally you have to actually break open the seven coverings, right? The entire universe has seven coverings. If you look in the picture, right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, and you have to break open all those things, and then finally you have to go out of this universe layer, and then finally you have to go to Viraja River, and then cross that, and then go to Brahma Jyoti. And actually, I was listening to the Rompal Maharaj lecture. There is no clear definition of what liberation Dhritarashtra got. Mm-hmm. In the purport, Prabhupada says, you know, he actually attained due to the mercy of Vidura, but it is not very clear specifically. Because in the next purport, in the next couple of verses, Prabhupada in the purport says, Vidura actually, one time, we will actually cover that. So the point is, so this is the process of liberation, how the living entity comes into the material world, and also the same way reverse, we have to go back. And then...
question, the Mahatattva is outside the spiritual world. Sorry, outside the covering, right?
Mahatattva is sum total of all material ingredients. Right. Yeah.
But the ingredients are in the outside in the mass form.
No, but it's also there in the material universe. It is there. Right? Earth is here, water, everything is here also.
Right. I mean, this is a manifested form.
Yes.
But there is unmanifested. So, this is you are talking about Mahatattva when the living entity comes in.
Actually, Pradhan is unmanifested, right? Mahatattva is manifested.
The whole thing is called
Mahatattva.
But it's unmanifested state is Pradhan. It's manifested state is Prakriti.
Okay.
So the whole thing is called Mahatattva, the sum total. The blocked sky, it says, being freed from blocked sky, you will have raised. The cloud covering the spiritual sky, the whole, the sum total of that area.
That is called Mahatattva.
Whether it's in manifested state or unmanifested state.
But when it is unmanifested, it is Pradhan.
Pradhan.
It's manifested.
It's Prakriti. So eventually we should not identify with any of these. We should just let all these things go, and then we just have to purely identify as a spiritual, and we have to go back. Unless we come to that point, we'll be here. Right? And in the purport, Prabhupada says conditioned soul and pure devotee. The conditioned soul is within these coverings. But a pure devotee, even though he is here, but Prabhupada says in the purport, his body is not material. His material body doesn't exist. Because of his incomplete connection with Krishna, his whole body is also spiritual. That is the difference. So even though he is here, but he is not here, he is there. The pure devotee or the liberated soul, even though he is here, his body is not material. Because of his connection with Krishna. It's like this. Fire. The iron rod in the fire. Right? The iron rod, when you put in the fire, the more it be in the fire, the iron rod becomes fire. There is no difference in fire and iron rod. So similarly, the pure devotee or the liberated soul, even though he is here, but he is not here. He is in the spiritual world. Because his body, his mind, his intelligence, his senses, everything is in service of the Supreme Lord. So he is not here, he is there. So while in this material world, right, he is a servant of Krishna, and he actually engages his mind, intelligence, his word, karmana, by activities, mind, manasa, gira, by his words, he is actually, everything is in the service of Krishna, so he is actually jivan mukta. Even though he is living here, he is actually liberated. So, this is 56,
द्वष्टमाया गुणादर्को निरुद्ध करणाशयः निवर्तिता किलारार आसते स्थानुरीवचलः तस्यांतरयो माइवाबुः सन्याकिल कर्मणः. He will have to suspend all the actions of the senses even from the outside and will have to be impervious to interactions of the senses which are influenced by the modes of material nature. After renouncing all material duties, he must become immovably established beyond all sources of hindrances on the path. So basically, he has to be free from all material activities. So, I don't know what is
not allowing fluid to pass through. To not allow fluid to pass through.
So basically, you're closed. Nothing. Pratyahara. You're blocking.
Pervious means, permeating, like going through.
So one sense is not, you're not allowing one sense to interact with another sense.
So basically, interaction of the senses means senses with sense objects. This is pratyahara. Right?
Interaction
with the senses, okay, to the sense objects. Yeah. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains guna and nirguna. So guna, we know sattva guna, rajoguna, tamoguna, we have three modes of material nature. But nirguna, so what is the opposite? What is the element, what is the opposite of this three modes of material nature is nirguna. That is, Prabhupada says, is it's called spiritual mode. It is called spiritual mode. So spiritual quality is distinguished from its material counterpart by the word nirguna. It doesn't mean that generally, most probably in India, and you know, all the different Mayavadis teachers or anybody who is confused, what they do is they take this nirguna and then they associate with the Lord has no form and no qualities. But actually that is not true. Yes. So it's a spiritual quality. It is not material, it's non-material. That's what it means. Nirguna means non-material qualities. But there are positive spiritual qualities. Right? And Prabhupada goes and further explains bhakti. Actually, what is bhakti? Bhakti means action dictated by the spiritual mode. That is called bhakti and that is called devotional service. So bhakti, which is action which is dictated by the spiritual mode, which is beyond any of this sattva guna, rajoguna, or tamoguna, but it's actually shuddha sattva, vasudev sattva.
Instead of badra.
Yeah. So bhakti is therefore nirguna, attained by direct contact with the absolute. How will we get this? Only when you are in contact with Krishna, the supreme absolute truth. Because he is transcendental, when you are in touch with the supreme absolute truth, you are also transcendental. Right? What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Sa gunan samatete tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Right? Right? Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sa gunan samatete tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Anyone who is unflinchingly performing the devotional service, mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate, he is actually transcending the three modes of material nature. Right? So, how can we do? We are not doing ashtanga yoga. We are generally doing bhakti yoga. But, bhakti yoga, actually, that is the ultimate goal. Even after doing all the pratyahara, everything, if your senses are not engaged in the service of Krishna, you will be actually falling prey to the lower sense enjoyment. Right? That's why I think in the 10th canto, or this is, āruhya krichrena param padam tata padanti adaho. Right? Na anadrida panga. So anyone who, even if he goes to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti liberation, if you don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet there, then you have to fall down, right? So it's always, you know, what is recommended is engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, then our senses are engaged, then our mind is engaged, then we are actually becoming transcendental. So the next couple of verses, after following this process, what is the result Dhritarashtra gets? Sava adhyatanadrajan prata panchamehani kalevaram hasyati svam tachcha bashmi bhavishyati. O king, he will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today and his body will turn to ashes. So actually this is Narada, they are only gone. But what he is going to do there is Narada is telling, foretelling that they are all there, they are doing, he will do, actually even in the, if you look at the previous verse, he will have to do this, he will have to do this. He says he will have to do this, he knows what he is going to do, Narada Muni is telling, that he will actually go and sit like this, he will do take bath and he will meditate, he will do all those things. And then from, most probably from the fifth day from today, he will actually quit his body and his body will be turned to ashes. Then immediately, Yudhishthira might think, oh, if he quits his body, I have to go and do funeral ceremony. Then Narada Muni says, no need. He will be actually burning his own body, his own, by his own self-made fire. So you don't have to go. Right? And then Rompada Maharaj explains nicely, right? Dhritarashtra is an intense person. Right? I will challenge you, anybody, you go and sit with me in the forest 5 days and you burn yourself in the fire. We cannot create fire out of our body. That all this yoga process, all these people are teaching Ashtanga yoga, this yoga, that yoga. Can you create fire? You go sit in the forest for 5 days, there you just only drink water and sit there and meditate for 5 days, and then you have to create fire from your body. It's impossible.
Yes. Very advanced.
But Dhritarashtra is a very intense personality. That's why he says he is a very intense person and he is following the process. So it's not to be, we cannot imitate, we cannot even do it. This is not even practical, this day and age. Dahyamane agnibirdehe patyu patni sahojate bahistita patim sadvi tam agnim anuvekshati. While outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention. So, Dhritarashtra is going to leave his body, but what will Gandhara do? Gandhara is watching. Dhritarashtra is actually doing Ashtanga Yoga, and then he is burning his. And then she is seeing, and with rapt attention, she also enters the fire. Right? Why? Why Gandhara has to enter the fire? Huh? Yeah, she wants to follow her husband. Because she is so chaste, right? Especially this entering the fire is called sati, right? Later on it became a criminal activity and they banned in India this sati. Why? The people actually forced people to, forced women to go and go in the fire. But actually this is not by force, this is by voluntary. And because she is being chaste, right, for her living is more burning, more fire, you know, more painful than actually giving her body, that because she couldn't separate, that was the pain she was going through. And moreover, she will actually reach the same destination as her husband, right? So this is actually this is the Vedic culture, right? The wife is so much attached to her husband. And you know, she wants to. She cannot live without even a second, without her husband. That is the process. Vidurastu tad ashcharyam nishamya kuru nandana harshashoka yutastasmad ghanta tirtha nivekshayaha. Vidura, being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage. Right. Now, if you look at Harsha Shoka, this might be resembling somewhere else. Harsha Shoka, Chitraketu Maharaj, had a son. His name was Harsha Shoka. Why? He will give happiness and also he will give lamentation. Harsha Shoka. But here, why it's referred to Vidura as Harsha Shoka? He is actually happy that his brother got liberated. But he is also sorrow. He is also sorrow because of his, and also we miss his association, and also his sorrow, Prabhupada nicely explains. Right? Vidura was happy because his brother got liberated. Why? He was so attached to his family life, he was so attached to his sons, he was blind, both materially and spiritually. There is no chance for him to get liberated. Only by the association of Vidura, he got liberated. He is happy. But Vidura is sorry. Why? Because his brother did not become a pure devotee. This is what Prabhupada explains. So Vidura is sorry Even though he got liberated, he is happy. But still he is sorry in his heart because he did not become a pure devotee. Why he didn't become a pure devotee? Because of an offense. Offense against the Pandavas. And Pandavas are great devotees of the Lord. Because he was inimical towards Pandavas, he cannot become the pure devotee. And that's why Vidura is sad. So here Prabhupada another thing explains. The sweet will of the Lord. Nothing happens without will of the Lord. Vidura is great Mahatma, devotee. He wants to give pure devotion to his brother. But he can only give whatever he can give because ultimately the Lord, he didn't sanction. Why? Because of his enviousness towards Pandavas. Yeah. So what is the application for us? Never commit Vaishnava Prad. So this is very, very dangerous. See, Vidura, Mahatma Vidura cannot give his own brother. He wanted to give. But he couldn't give because it's checked by the Lord's will. So we cannot be offensive to Vaishnavas. If we, definitely we all committed offenses, definitely I have committed offenses. So we have to beg forgiveness to all the Vaishnava devotees and we have to serve them. That is the only way we can go back. Otherwise, with this offensive mentality, we will be rotting. So it is very, very important, right? Mahatma Vidura, he is willing to give. So I want to answer your question, right? You asked, right? The familial affection is illusion. But actually Vidura, Rompa Maharaj explains, Vidura, he is a great devotee, liberated soul, Yamaraj, incarnation. But he is also lamenting, right, of his brother's death. But the context why Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthira is because Yudhishthira is in the family affection. My uncle, I have to protect him. That is the context is there, being the protector of my uncle, bodily relationship. Here the context is spiritual relationship. He is worried about his spiritual destination. Vidura is here worried about his spiritual destination and he is sorry. There, he is worried about his bodily comforts. How can I take care of the body of my uncle? So that is actually context specific. Right? But of course, being devotees of the Lord, we have more emotions. Right? If we don't have emotions ourselves, then how can I go and give this? The whole bhakti is full of rasa. The whole bhakti is full of sentiments. And if we are not having sentiments, then how can we, you know, how can we awaken sentiments in the other heart for Krishna? So it is even, you know, even more, we have to give even more deeper. Right?
Sentiments has to be similar to Vidura's.
Vidura's. Right. So it is not the sentiments for, the compassion is not material, the compassion is spiritual. In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? Arjuna's compassion originally was, it was misplaced compassion for the bodies. But then Krishna comes and awakens, you have to be compassionate spiritually, not materially. Right. So we have to be really careful, and I take this opportunity, please forgive all my offenses. I've done so many offenses to all of you. Please forgive me. And
you will finish, but I am committing our up to you, not my
own. He has given me shelter and I am making up to him. So last verse. Iti uktva taruhat swargham narada sahatam buru yudhishthiro vachastasya hriti kritva jahachuha. Having spoken thus, the great sage Narada, along with his veena, ascended into outer space. Yudhishthira kept his instruction in his heart and so was able to get rid of all lamentations. So now, after narrating this whole thing, Narada Muni is actually transcendental spaceman. He just plays on the veena, he goes up. Right? And then with Yudhishthira, by remembering the instructions of Narada Muni, he can actually get rid of all the lamentations. So the point here is, Yudhishthira is a great devotee of the Lord. But when the circumstances came, he is also, you know, succumbed to the, you know, basically illusion. And so what to speak of us? So we have to always, whenever we are in distress, we have to approach spiritual authority, higher spiritual authority, and so, you know, get their association. Then, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Yudhishthira was fortunate to see Narada Muni. Do you want to see Narada Muni? If you really want to see Narada Muni, what you should do? He says, be pious and follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. What did Narada Muni do? When Narada Muni was in his previous life in the maid servant, he was associated with the Bhakti Vedantas. He was actually sincerely hearing from him, hearing from them, serving them, taking their remnants. So Prabhupada has given everything for us. You can see Narada Muni every day. Actually, by the way, Narada Muni is there every day in the temple. Gaurarati. Yeah, Mangalarati always is there. Gaurarati, there is a mention. Kiba Shiva Shuka Narada Prema Gada Gada. Right? When the Gaurarati is going on, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision. Right? Rashiva, Sukadeva Goswami and Narada Muni, they are actually, they cannot speak. Their whole throat is choked up. They cannot even sing. And Narada Muni is there every day in the Gaurarati. And wherever, you know, whenever the Lord's glories are sung, Lord Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami and Narada Muni is there. But we have to have the eyes to see, we have to have that gratitude. The grateful heart we have to have, and you know, be grateful to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees. Right? Every devotee has given us Krishna. We have to be grateful, and then we can see Krishna and Narada Muni. Application. Devotee association. Be grateful to devotees. Right? Without devotees, we wouldn't be here. Devotees give us everything. And Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. Association. So we have to be, when the devotees are there, don't take them for granted. Get their association properly. Associating with, I think there's one lecture I've been, I think I listen to this always, I never forget this lecture. Associating with humility by Anandavandavan Prabhu. Right? So these are the devotees. If you think the last moment of your death, right? You need, whether you remember, we remember Krishna or not, we don't know. But if there is a devotee, there is a chance we can remember. So we have to pray that at least at the time of my death, I should be having some devotees around me. So that means, how should I behave with all the devotees? If I behave enviously, right? If this is the devotee, it's going to be me at the time of death. How should I be behaving with the devotee? It is very, very important. So the summary, the first two verses, 49-50, is position of Krishna, how devotees see Krishna, how non-devotees see Krishna, what is the mission of Krishna. And the next two locations, Saptashrota, where Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, they went, the southern Himalaya mountains. And then the process of Ashtanga Yoga. And Prabhupada very nicely, you know, connects how the Ashtanga Yoga process, we are not missing anything by doing the Bhakti Yoga process. In essence, Ashtanga Yoga process should lead to Bhakti Yoga. And then, what is the result of Dhritarashtra's Ashtanga Yoga process? He attains liberation. And after that, Sage Narada, Narada leaves. So, take home points. Time is Krishna. Right? Increase your time for Krishna, Krishna's activities, and decrease your material attachments or desires. Why? If you have all these things, we have to know that Isha Vidvamshita Ashisham. Ultimately, Krishna is going to destroy. We have to remember Varadaraj also Vidvamshita Ashisham. Varadaraj is giving predictions. Also, Krishna is called Vidvamshita Ashisham, he who destroys the predictions. He destroys the predictions of material desires. And Varadaraj is giving spiritual benedictions. So, devotional service rendered is never checked by time. Right? And we have to be like, you know, we have to know the seriousness of devotional service. And then, importance of association. Right? So, in this whole episode, this whole chapter talks about how Dhritarashtra, he was so attached, but how Vidura actually came and gave him the association and he became detached. And how he attained liberation. Right? This is due to Vidura's mercy towards Dhritarashtra. This is the power of association. Right? So if you look at, I may be repeating this, I've told this so many several times. Prithu Maharaj, you know, he is also praying. He says, I don't want anything else. I don't want even the liberation where I can go and be in the Brahmajyoti. Because even though you are a Kaivalyapate, he says, Kaivalyapate means you are the giver of the benediction of liberation. Mukunda, right? You give liberation, but I don't want liberation. Why? Because after going there, if I cannot hear your glories, I don't want it. But rather you give me thousands and millions of years so that I can hear the glories of your pastimes from the devotees. This is what Pradhu Maharaj prays. Right? Na yatra yusma charanam bujhashavaha. Na kamaye nata. Tadapyaham kuchin. Na yatra yusma charanam bujhashavaha. Yeshame.
Ashame varaha.
Yeshame varaha, he says. Vidatsva karana idam. He says, Vidatsva, give me, karana means years, give me millions of years. So that I can, Yeshame varaha, this is my benediction, this is my boon I want from you. Why? I want millions of years so that I can hear your pastimes. I don't want anything else.
Mahatmana
I don't.
Antar
So Mahatmana antar hridayan mukachito. So I want to hear the glories of your pastimes from the great devotees who are actually worshipping the lotus feet in their heart. I want to hear the glories. And then Dhruva Maharaj says, I am not worried about myself, my lord. This whole material existence is full of fire, forest fire. You are in the middle of forest fire, but I am not worried. Dhruva Maharaj says, I am not worried. But I am worried about people who don't have your devotees association. I am not worried. Why? Because I have your association of devotees. I can actually hear from the glories, your glories through your devotees. And then Lord Shiva also says, very beautifully, actually I wanted to show this, 424.58. What is
this?
Yeah. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all contamination of sin. I therefore beg your Lordship to bless me by the association of your devotees who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. Real benediction. This is Lord Shiva praying. Real benediction. Your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with your devotees. Right? And if you look at here, I'll come back to this. Yeah. So what is the next take-home point? Imbibe the mood of Vidura. Right? Vidura, he didn't just leave his brother. He could have just went back. But he came back, he liberated his brother. He was so attached. But if you look at in Kali Yuga, in modern times, right? Every one of us is Dhritarashtra. Everybody is spiritually blind. Right? So we have to imbibe the mood of Vidura. Whatever we have given, by Krishna's mercy, by devotee's mercy, we got it. And now, it's our duty to imbibe in the mood of Vidura and go back and go to help others. Be sincere servant of Lord Chaitanya. Right? And give association. Not only association means we have to associate. See, the previous one is association. We have to take association. Yeah. But not only, we cannot stop there. We should also give association. Who needs it? And this one, you know, it struck me. Srila Prabhupada watches this. I met Hari Shauri the other day here and he told me that Prabhupada once took his hand and asked him. So basically Srila Prabhupada met Hari Shauri Prabhu and then he asked Hari Shauri Prabhu's hand. Prabhupada, hold his hand. Do you know what is the secret? Prabhupada asked. You know what is the secret? Then Prabhupada told, the secret is that preaching is much more important than bhajan. This is told by Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Prabhu in Vrindavan. So preaching is more important than bhajan. This is the secret Prabhupada is giving to Harishwari Prabhu. So we have to get the secret and try to imbibe in the mood of Vidura. And I want to specifically thank, you know, I want to highlight this point, you know, with all this busy, his schedule, Madhusudana Prabhu, right? when he was out of town, this four weeks he was out of town, then I realized, before that I used to complain myself. Why he's doing this thing, why he's not doing this, why he's not focusing on his chanting. All the time, there is always this thing between us, you know, have you finished your rounds, have you done your Gayatri, have you done this, have you done that, right? Always he will actually say, I have not done my rounds, I will do Gayatri, this thing, that thing. And so I always used to think, why is like this? But at the same time, when it comes to preaching, right, Saturday, DOS, he's there, right? And then Sunday, Bhakti Gita, you know, he'll be always with me, cooking also, he'll be doing all those things, but at the same time, right, when he comes and gives class, you know, fantastic, like 25 people, 30 people are attending his Bhakti Gita, right? Last 2 years, he's been consistently doing the DOS, right? And Radhika Upanapuru, right? It's not just him. I just wanted to share my realization in the last 4 weeks. When he was not there, then I realized the important. Then I realized this statement. Preaching is more important than bhajan. Right? When you help others, right? When you bring others to Krishna, Krishna is more happy. The whole purpose, right? And in related to that, this is what I want to show. 4:24-45, verse 46. So, this is the one. So this is again prayer by Lord Shiva. He says, Snigdha Pravrut Ganashyam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. He says, all beautiful. The Lord is the sum total of all beauty. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham means the sum total of all beauty. So I've never thought that Prabhupada would comment like this. If you go to the comment, right, what Prabhupada has given. See here. Everything was arranged by the Lord, but the credit of victory was given to Arjuna. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna told, all these people are killed. Whether you want to take the credit or not, it's up to you, Arjuna. Nimitta matram bhavesavya sachin. Just become an instrument. Right? So similarly, in Krishna consciousness movement, everything is happening according to the predictions of Lord Chaitanya. But the credit goes to Lord Chaitanya's sincere servants. See, and thus the Lord is described here in as Sarva Saundarya Sangraham, the sum total of all beauty. How Prabhupada is connecting? We just think Krishna is beautiful. But how Krishna is beautiful? Srila Prabhupada is telling, by the way, in this movement, everything is going to happen by Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya had a plan. Prithiviti Jata Nagaradi Grama Prachara Vaibha Mora Nama Sarvatra Vaibha Prachara Vaibha Nama. Right? It's going to happen. Whether you want to be a sincere servant or not, somebody else is going to do it. Right? So the point is, we have to be sincere. And I wanted to finish this last point. Yeah. I told, right? Lord Shiva says, the real benediction will be to able to allow me to associate with such devotees. And the purport Prabhupada says, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has sung that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are so powerful that each one of them can deliver a universe. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is not somebody else saying. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur saying, devotee of Lord Chaitanya is so powerful that each one of them can deliver a universe. In other words, it is the business of devotees to preach the glories of Lord and deliver all the conditions all to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. So, we should not just simply satisfied with bhajan, we should extend beyond and try to preach. That will actually please Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. And I sincerely thank all the devotees, you know, Amrita who is also doing wonderful, every one of us is doing wonderful job. But Tamil Krishna Maharaj, I was listening to one lecture. He told, there are so many services. The one Mataji asked a question about book distribution, or which service is most pleasing to Krishna or Srila Prabhupada something. So then Tamil Krishna Maharaj told, yeah, all the services, we are a movement. It's like we are going to the big war. When there is a big war going on, right, there is somebody who is fighting in the battlefield, but there are people who are supporting. There is transportation, there is cooking, there is, you know, medical field. There's so many things are there, but still all those are important. But somebody has to go and fight in the battlefield. If everything is there, eating, cooking, all the transportation, everything is there, but nobody is fighting there. So it says, still, if everything is important, we are all one unit, but still, the person who is there in the forefront, he gets some special credit. So that should inspire us to go beyond our capacity. Whatever we have to go. See, Harulas Bhu. Right? All the time. It's ever increasing, right? Padam padam. Every time, every step he is actually increasing more. Why? Because that's what Srila Prabhupada.
When
Sundarapaswati was there with me, right, then I realized, right, what it means. Just, you know, it takes a lot of time. You know, you need to be, you know, you have to listen, you have to cook, you have to contact people, you have to follow up, and you have to be there on time. You have to, you know, not all those things, but all that, you have to be depending on Krishna. And ultimately, if Krishna doesn't willing, no matter what you speak, no matter what you do, people are not going to be inspired. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means Krishna Sakti Vina, yeah, it cannot happen. Taranahi Pravartan. Like that. So the references, I listened to Rompal Maharaj lecture. There is only one lecture, verse 45 to 60, and also read Unveiling the Lotus Feet of Gurujana Prabhu.
Krishna says that we need to be balanced in eating or sleeping.